God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you this day. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord. And Lord God, this week is like none other. Lord God, in this week, our nation goes through a time of change. Be with us in everything. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Oh, I have to admit it. When I was getting ready to move to Minnesota, I looked at all the scripture verses that we would go through from when I first got here to the time of around Thanksgiving. And I planned out all my sermons, and the only problem is I forgot All Saints Day. All Saints Day has a different set of scripture verses. And so I had planned everything based on the three-year lectionary. The three-year lectionary is different than today's readings. So I'm going to stick with my original reading, and we're going to be studying Exodus chapter 3. It's a well-known story. You've probably heard about it. This guy named, Moses, a.k.a. Charlton Heston, all right? So Charlton Heston is looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He sees what? He sees a burning bush. He sees a bush. Can't figure out why it's not burning up, because it's on fire. And he goes to seek, why is it doing this? And so very interesting. I could show you the scripture verses. How about I'll show you the scripture verses in a different manner? Is that okay? Is that okay?
It's a way that McMillan's family restaurant thanks you for your service. The cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt.
I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage?
And so here we see our scripture verse played out in the famous story of the Ten Commandments. And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit of this idea of the tale of two nations. Because this scripture verse talks about two nations that were going through different things. And this morning we want to take the first one, the nation of Israel. Israel at this time was living under the bondage of slavery. It's not when you want to get up. It's not if you want to get up. It's get out to work or else. This is what you're going to have to eat. This is the rules you're going to live by. They lived under taskmasters. They lived under people who put them into slavery. Israel didn't have a choice. But the one thing that stood out in the people of Israel when they were in Egypt is they were living for a deliverer. They were hoping that this person would come into their lives and take away the bondage of slavery. And they were waiting. They were asking, when will this deliverer come? The second nation was the nation of Egypt. The nation of Egypt. The nation of Egypt was the most powerful country on the face of the planet at this time. The leader, Pharaoh, could care less about the God of the Hebrews, could care less about the one God. The ruler of Egypt thought himself more than he was. He was a living God. And he told people what to do. He told the people when to do it, and they obeyed him. And so this morning, it's very difficult to... Is there any anxiety over what's about to happen in our nation today? Any anxiety? Do we have any idea of what's going to happen next? We don't. The problem is there's nothing you or I can do about it. Nothing. And so what I've heard is this idea that man needs to use his own knowledge to get through the problems that we have. All we have to do is think about how you get through things. And I see a government that's saying, don't you dare bring any kind of form of God into this equation for getting us through the hard times. And so I'm beginning to wonder up here, is there a parallel that what is going on today than what has happened in the past? Is there any kind of idea that in the past, that nations that forgot who God was, God let them slip away into whatever they wanted to do and said, okay, if that's the path you want to take, you do it without me. Is there any parallel to that today? And so today there's this idea here that morality, we can think about morality and all of a sudden we're going to agree. And the problem is that in this room, if there's over 100 people in this room, we all have a different sense of morality. We all are going to have different opinions. We're never, ever, ever going to have the same opinion. That's going to be totally fact. And so as we go and progress on as a nation, as we progress into this idea of we're evolving into a better country, I see just the opposite. Anyone seen the crime statistics in the United States? Is the crime getting better in this country? Domestic violence is on the rise. Murder is on the rise. Traffic tickets, are they on the rise? Are you getting more impatient to get to work or home? Can someone tell me what's getting better in this nation or on this planet now that we've separated ourselves from who God is? And so we have this idea that this country is somehow bettering itself because we're loosening the bonds of our need for a God. And it's almost the opposite. We're almost putting ourselves in the idea that we're putting ourselves in a cell. Does anyone have this idea that we're getting worse? And we think we're getting better. But I think there's a clip from a movie that came out a few years ago. And it puts this right in the perspective that we need to hear. I hope you guys... This is phenomenal.
You prayed and believed your whole life. Never done anything wrong. And here you are. You're the nicest person I know. I am the meanest. You have dementia. My life is perfect. Explain that to me.
Sometimes the devil allows people to live a life free of trouble because he doesn't want them turning to God. Your sin is like a jail cell, except it all nice and comfy, and there doesn't seem to be any need to leave. The door is wide open. Till one day, time runs out. The cell door slams shut, and suddenly, it's too late.
She put it right there. Satan is at work telling this country that they're better off without God, our perspective is way off in this country. Way off. And as this day was approaching, I began to wonder, why is it that we can't get more people in government that are God-fearing? Why can't anyone run that will run on principles that they won't mudsling, they won't run on a negative campaign, they will actually be civil with the person they're running against? This nation is going to elect someone who has the lowest approval rating of any candidates ever in the United States. And I say, why, God, why? We need a great leader nowadays. And in my own mind, I'm wondering, where is God in this great time of need? And it begins to make me wonder, if we have truly turned our back on God, why is it that we think that God is going to come and rescue us when we think we don't need Him? In my mind, I think we have the candidates that match the heartbeat of this country. Nowhere are we talking about who God is and how He is going to get through this situation. Little is being said of this nation turning away from itself and turning back to God. This congregation's focus should always be going forward, that as we go forward on our knees. We are no better than anyone else in this country or this world. We have been placed here as servants of the Most Holy God. So what we don't want to see is this. Joshua said, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. God's been gracious to us. But I don't want to see that we turn our backs on God. I want this microphone to tell you, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It matters where your knees end up. Where your eyes end up. Where your heart is turned to. Because if it is turned to a path that leads to who's going to save us here on this planet, what human being is going to come along and make my life better? It's not. What's going to make our lives better, men, is that we would show the rest of the world that we are strong, that we are powerful, because we have given the fight up to God and not of ourselves. We rely totally on God's grace to go forward. And by serving others, there is the mind of Christ. And you say, well, it's too much. There's world hunger. There's poverty. There's so many things to do. Let me ask you this. Is God all-powerful in this world? Is there a limit to what God can do? Can I ask you that this morning? Why is it that we believe that we are powerless? I think Paul had it right. Paul said, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. What is it that this congregation cannot do with God behind us? What's our limit? God has given this congregation a heart and capacity to serve. And there's no one in here, in this room, no matter your age, that can say, I have nothing to give. You saw those young people. They are going to need mentors. They're going to need people to stand up for them. We got couples in here who are in need of someone to say, how can I get through this marriage? Because we're just breaking apart. There is nothing in this congregation that we cannot accomplish with God behind us. With God paving the road ahead. I hope we have the mindset of Israel that we know we're in bondage and we know we're in need of a deliverer. and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is coming, and while we do, we will serve. And we will hinge on the strength that comes through Christ and through him alone. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, on the one hand, there's a lot happening. There's a lot to be fearful of. Lord God, Heavenly Father, that doesn't matter. Lord God, no matter what, there's no government in the world that does not exist without you allowing it to exist. Lord God, in this day, we ask you for peace for this nation as it goes to the polls, that whoever wins, Lord God, help this congregation keep their eyes firmly fixed on the one who went to the cross, gave of himself, Lord, and forgave us in his hour of need. In your son's name we pray. Amen.